Thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 89 today. We are sitting down with a couple of local filmmakers, including David Smith, who has been a guest on my radio show in the past for Local Talk Radio. But him and his crew have put together a great media package for the local high school FFA program, including a short film narrated and starring and filmed and edited and blah, everything, all produced by the good folks there at Chino Valley High School. So I wanted to sit down with David, catch up, see what his plans are as he wraps up his high school career and what he has in store for the future. He is an extremely accomplished young filmmaker, and I just wanted to pick his brain a little bit and tell him how much I dislike him for having as much talent as he has at such an early age. Don't like that a bit. I think he needs to kick some of that talent my way and see if I can't make a living with it. We are recording today at Big Daddy E's Barbecue on Butterfield Road in Chino Valley. Eric Vanier, the owner and man behind the grill here at Big Daddy's, is a sponsor of the show and a good friend of mine. So we want to thank him and his staff for letting us come and set up here in the patio. During the spring and summer months, Eric and his crew are hosting live music out in the patio. Today, while we're recording this, or just soon after we're done, will be friend of the show Leslie Earl Lyman. He's going to be out there. The gig is booked through Big Daddy's by our friend Sky Conwell. Sky will be here in a couple of weeks. Paul T. Morris. A lot of the musicians that you hear right here on the Mile High Show also grace the patio area at Big Daddy E's. Check out Big Daddy's, again, 380 Butterfield Road in Chino Valley. Find them on Facebook there. Their phone number, 928-515-2344. Check out the entire menu there. You can't go wrong. Everything you get at Big Daddy E's is a pleasure to your mouth. So sit back, enjoy episode number 89 with David Smith and friends. Again, recorded right here at Big Daddy E's Smoke and Barbecue. And you can find out all about Big Daddy's at BigDaddyEase.com. Big Daddy E's Smoke and Barbecue, including their hours. They're 11 to 5, let's see, 11 to 5 Tuesday through Thursday, and Friday from 11 to 7 p.m. So sit back, enjoy, and stop in at Big Daddy's to enjoy a great meal. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, so if you guys are ready, let's begin. Let's start with Seth. Just introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit. Give me like that little, typically I say tell people a little Reader's Digest bio, but I'm going to guess nobody at this table but me knows what a Reader's Digest is. So tell me a little bit about yourself, first and last name, Seth, and just a little info.
Okay. My name's Seth Baldwin. I'm 21 years old, and I actually live out in Coyote Springs. I'm David's neighbor, and we've lived in the same neighborhood for a really long time, but we never, you know, connected. So when this project came up, you know, they had known that I, you know, had made music and stuff and work in that area, so it was kind of perfect timing.
So music and audio is your wheelhouse?
Yes.
Yeah, and where'd you go to high school?
Bradshaw Mountain.
Bradshaw Mountain. They got were you involved with the drama department over there much?
I wasn't.
No? I know that's a real strong... They've got a real strong program in there, a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Playing music through high school?
I was in band for like a year, but, you know, I didn't... I got more into the digital audio workstations versus...
Like the production end of it? We're speaking of audio, that was my phone. Let me kill that and get rid of it. And David, we've met several times before when I've been able to observe some of your projects, and I had you on my radio show a while back. When was that? Was that last year or the year before?
I think that was, I want to say that was last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Time starts to get a little weird when you get older. So I don't have a real good grasp of time. If I remember correctly, you guys were good. First of all, David Smith, thank you for making time and setting us up with these guys to sit down with me. When we first met, you were getting ready for a production with Miss Muse, and I don't remember what it was, but right around the same time was when your class and your project was working on that State Farm film that you guys are putting together for a competition, wasn't it? Give me a little background on that, because I'm a little fuzzy. The age thing creeping up on
me. The part with State Farm was Celebrate My Drive, and that was a anti-distracted driving campaign that we worked in conjunction with State Farm.
And you were doing the cinematography on that?
Yes.
Working with behind the camera primarily? Yeah. Were you also performing in it or no?
No, I was not performing in it.
Because that was a pretty big cast. And then at the part that I was out there to witness, it was a good chunk of the school out at that at the football field with helicopters landing and all kind of good stuff going on.
Yeah, that was in student council, got all the student part together. And then Miss Hubble with State Farm, they ended up getting the helicopter and all that.
We'll hit her up for a sponsorship. We'll mention State Farm. And get some money out of her.
And then from there, the actual filming of it and putting that video together for State Farm was done by me and Miss Muse.
We'll definitely get into what brought you to your position behind the camera, the interest that you had, how long you've been doing that. But let's finish up here around the table. Christian.
Alrighty.
Now, you look really, really familiar. And you said you're a freshman, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you took my basketball pictures.
Could have been. Yeah. Get in there nice and close. And you're a freshman. What's your last name, Christian?
My name is Christian Bannister. I'm a freshman at Chino Valley High School. And, I'm sort of the new guy in the group. David needed some help in one of our FFA meetings. I'm the FFA Sentinel in the Chino chapter. And David needed some help with our FFA banquet video, and I just pitched in and said I would help, and it ended up turning into a pretty decent ordeal.
Ordeal's usually reserved for things that are bad. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, it was
rough
a good time.
Working with David?
No, David's awesome. But we just took a school day and wrote a little poem, and it turned into something really great.
I want to get on that, because that's what got you back on my radar, David. Not that you're, I love following you on Facebook, because you post some incredible images. And quite frankly, I don't like you for that. Nobody your age should have the level of talent you have. It took me many years to get to the low talent level. Now that you've surpassed all that, I really don't like you. We'll get into that a little bit more, too. Sentinel. Christian, what is a Sentinel?
The Sentinel in the FFA, in the chapter meetings and stuff, just kind of keeps order. Just helps the president maintain order, make sure that everything in all of our meetings and all of our...
Is that kind of like a sergeant-at-arms kind of
position? Sort of, yeah. Just
a lot of trouble happening at those meetings?
No.
Cracking the whip?
No.
Carry a sidearm?
Sometimes.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Checking.
No, it's just to keep maintain order, basically, like sergeant-at-arms.
What's it? So you're the club bouncer. I like that.
Yeah.
Is that an area that you're going to be pursuing after school? Maybe get a job down on the row, working the dorm mats or something like that?
Probably not.
Maybe.
But,
I have a feeling you might have to deal with some of your classmates at some time. So
all the time.
At least you'd have some familiar faces.
David backs me up all the time.
Yep.
Okay, and that's what got, again, why we're sitting here. Not exactly why, because I'm always interested to talk to artists, especially folks that have an interest in cameras, because that's my background. That's my passion as well. But what spurned this past few weeks is when you posted up that video clip. It's what, like a 7-8 minute? 6 minute? What do you
actually? It's,
a little
it's like
short film.
It's like 2 minutes or something like
no,
that.
No, it's long.
Yeah, about two and a half minutes, 3 minutes.
Something like
is
that.
It? Yeah. It's captivating. It's beautifully done. And when I saw that, that's when I reached out and asked if we can maybe set a time to sit down. I was thinking maybe in a couple of weeks, but we had some shifts around on schedule this week, and found myself with a Friday open. So I reached out, and I'm glad you were able to carve out some time. And it's not the optimum time for you guys, or at least you, David, because you had an interesting last 24, 36 hours, huh?
Yeah, for real.
What'd you guys do?
We ended up, our senior class ended up going to Six Flags. The bus ride there.
Southern Cal?
Yeah, Southern California. The bus ride there, like, everybody wanted to sleep, but literally the entire bus could not sleep because it was so uncomfortable. So we none of us wanted to talk to each other, but at the same time...
So it's a really close class.
Yeah, and at the same time, we were all trying to fall asleep, and it just was not working for us. So we're like, this is not... We tried every which way sleeping, slept like upside down, nothing worked.
Now, when did you guys leave? What time?
We left at 11... Or we ended up getting on the bus and leaving at 12:01.
Midnight 12:01.
Yeah.
What, Wednesday night?
That I guess that would. At that point, it's Thursday morning.
Yeah,
but Wednesday night.
Evening, yeah. Dark time. Time for memes. And then, so what is it like? Eight hours from here.
Yeah.
Approximately. So you're getting there.
We ended up getting into Six Flags at 10, and the park still didn't open, and we didn't even have tickets. Like, or most of the class had
who
tickets.
Who organized this? What is this? Note to self, contact the school district and find out who's in charge.
For real.
Man.
There was six of us that didn't have tickets, so we had to wait.
Of course it is.
Oh, yeah.
We shouldn't say that on the
He'll find us and hunt us down.
Probably shouldn't say that over mics.
let's call him and find out. Man, it wouldn't be so. It wouldn't surprise me. Good old Pete. So you get there, park's not open yet. Now, was this a general admission day? Was it? I know sometimes, like on way back when the world was black and white, when I was in school, grad night was like at Disneyland. I was in Northern California. And they would close down the park, and it was just high schools from all over the state.
Oh, come on, Ms. Santos. We live in Chino. That doesn't happen.
But when you got, was it just an open day for the park, or was it like just a school event that was there?
I think it was an open day.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like four other schools, so that was kind of what I wondered. But then at the same time, there was a lot of people that, yeah, there was families, and there was a lot of like, Chinese that would come up and they would like speak, and I thought they were talking to me until they started speaking, and I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. So then I didn't really think they were talking to me, but then they were looking right at me, and I'm like,
maybe they thought you were an attraction.
Oh yeah,
they were just waiting like, for the show to start. Yeah, when I didn't go to our grad night way back when, but it was a little different. You would leave like after school. And it was about the same distance from where I was at, Northern California, to Disneyland, as it is from, like, Southern Cal from here in Chino. And the buses would leave at, you know, like, sometime after school. I want to say, like, maybe 1, 2 in the afternoon, or maybe even it was after school, towards the end of the year, like this is. And they would arrive down there, and it was, like, 11 o'clock. And the park would open just for high schools from midnight to like 8 in the morning. So the grad night would run from midnight to 8 a.m., but it was just thousands of kids from all over the state. It was only open to high schools. And I think they stopped doing that, you know, quite a while ago, but just because it was like a madhouse. It was just no control finding people. Anyway, I didn't go. I was a good kid. I didn't go.
Oh, come on.
No, I was in jail at the time. So no.
Of course you were.
So you guys spent the whole day at the park?
Yeah.
And then what time did you load the buses to come back?
Around 6:30 or so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And when did you get back home?
We got back at, 3:45.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And still trying to get sleep, but nobody could get sleep. It was rough.
Yeah, yeah.
My leg.
You're all amped up from running around all day in the sun.
Yeah, and then, like these bus seats are so small. It's like an airplane.
Yeah.
And then, like, I put my legs up, and I had just gotten so comfortable. And I was like, oh, this is it. I'm comfortable. And then all of a sudden, my leg fell asleep. And then my butt fell asleep. And then my other leg fell asleep. I'm like, I can't even move. I'm stuck here. I'm, like, pinned in this. We started hitting the bumps. The bus was rocking all around. I'm like, this is just not working out for me. It's like 5 minutes of comfort.
So, Dad, what kind of shape was he in when he got home?
I was pretty bad shape. I was in bad shape, too, though.
Overall, a good time, though?
Yes.
Overall, a lot of fun at the park? Good, good. Now, you guys are wrapping up, or you're wrapping up your school year, what, next week, the week after?
Week and a half. So, okay. Yeah.
About
so,
six more school days.
What is it, like the
23rd?
23rd? Yeah.
And 24th, and then 25th is senior recognition night.
And
whatever.
You're a senior graduation. This year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You gonna miss it?
Yeah.
Gonna miss high school?
Yeah, but I'm ready to move on.
Your next chapter. What do you got planned? What's on your?
Not sure.
What's on your horizon?
Looking at jobs in the valley, as far as with video and stuff like that.
Very nice.
I have a couple upcoming jobs, so that'll be fun.
Anything you can talk about or no? Are we gonna be seeing you? Seen you out doing anything high profile as of yet, or
no? Not high profile, unfortunately, but contract work in the valley. So
your day will come.
I got a guy down there that I know that runs a production company. I'll shoot you his name in case he's ever looking for an additional shooter or something. He does a lot of corporate stuff, training films and presentations and things of that nature. Been doing it for decades down in the valley, but he does a lot of performing arts as well. I have a quick story that ties in both movies and Magic Mountain. We used to do an annual trip. We did it about 5 years in a row, just my family, but no parents. My aunt used to go with us, and then I'm from a family of five kids, the youngest of five. So it was us kids, my aunt, and then we would bring one or two friends. We'd load up in our big van when I was a kid, and every summer we'd go down to Magic Mountain for a few days. And the first time we went, I was in eighth grade, I think, seventh or eighth grade, and we knew nothing about the area, so we stayed. It's probably not there anymore, but there was a KOA campground directly across the freeway. I mean, you could see Magic Mountain from the campground. And you just had to pay for a space, so you didn't have to worry about getting extra rooms and stuff. It was a cheap way to go. And we're walking around. We get there in the afternoon. We're checking things out. And we see, my brother and I see this big white, it was getting dusk, so the sun was about to go down. A big white thing, we looked at it. We said, oh, it's a drive-in movie. So, and there was a little hill above it, so we grabbed our sleeping bags and some food and stuff and went up and sat up on the hill. We figured we're going to watch a free movie. We got our binoculars, and we waited and we waited and we waited, and the movie never started, and we fell asleep. And we wake up in this dirt pile like the next morning, and we look again, and we realize it was just a water tower we had been staring at all night. So the movie never stayed. Anyway, that's my Magic Mountain experience.
That's great.
Seth, what kind of music are you producing? Is it do you is this where you're going vocational wise? You're looking to do this as a living, or is it just something you really, really enjoy?
It started I was really just starting to do it for fun, and then when I realized, you know, that I enjoyed it so much, I figured I could get some sort of income doing it. My friend and I started a studio in his apartment, and we were running client sessions and stuff like that. And it was primarily the music that we were making was electronic, like EDM and house music and stuff like that.
EDM, educate an old guy.
EDM, just electronic dance music.
Yeah, okay.
So, we would also be working on, you know, acoustic sessions and different stuff like that.
Performing or producing it for
just
other folks?
Yeah, recording and, you know, dragging the session files into the DAW and, you know, doing all the mixing and stuff like that. So
nice. Do you play music as well or strictly the production side?
I can play, like, the drums and piano and a little bit of guitar, but, you know, I never really got into
all. three. I tried to play a recorder, and you saw how well that worked. Good. And is this the route that you're... Is this how you support yourself now?
It was how I was doing that, but I went to graphic design and design work, and, you know, I'm working on some side projects that hopefully will be, you know, keeping me going on that.
Nice.
But I still... When I did the vocals for his video, it kind of, like, reignited my little, like, you know, passion for music, and I spent the rest of the night, you know, making another song. So
fall down that rabbit hole, huh?
Yeah.
David, talk about your specific to this FFA film. Tell me a little bit about it, just as if I hadn't seen it yet, which I have, and it's great. We'll put a link on it. Tell me about what it was designed for, what the idea was. Was this something that you did on your own, or was it an assignment? What's the background on it?
Well, I started, I guess now I can say 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
With Mr. Weller. I wasn't like when the corn dinner was coming up.
Patrick Wellard, who was the what was his role over there?
He was the advisor.
The advisor,
the first or the primary advisor.
And was Casey Farnsworth?
Yeah, Casey Farnsworth was the second. Yeah, he was the second advisor. So,
and both of those gentlemen have moved on to other projects. So Patrick, is he still out in Prescott Valley?
Yeah, he is.
And then Casey's Utah, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
He left.
Yeah.
Who's your advisor this year?
This year is Bethany Masters. Bethany Masters?
Bethany Masters, okay. So 4 years ago you start. I'm sorry, this podcast has really no structure to it. I'm all over the place. My ADHD kicks in whenever I get in front of a
it
mic.
It works.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So 4 years ago, started. Mr. Wellert goes, "Hey, what do you want to do with your life, or as far as like as a career?" And I was in the ag class, and I don't know really why I was in the ag class. I kind of got put in it, and I was like, "Oh, this is not really the route I'm taking, but this is kind of interesting." And I told him that I was looking at video or possibly doing video, and then from there he goes, "All right, well, why don't you come out and film the corn dinner?" And I was like, "All right. We'll see what happens with that." And this is the first time I'd ever filmed a live event or really much of anything outside of using my iPhone.
Something that you're not controlling every aspect of.
Yeah. And like most of the stuff I did on my iPhone was just like a fun little video of like me filming some random location or something like that. So this was completely out of my element. Ended up doing it, really liking it, finding, oh, this is kind of fun. Showed Mr. Bell at the video. He was really happy with it. And looking back, it's a terrible video, and I don't want anybody to see it, ever.
So we'll put a link to that.
And then from there, continued on throughout the years, filming all the events and then always making a banquet video, the end of the year video.
Yeah.
And so this year, started out filmed the corn dinner. Didn't get a whole lot of footage because I was also trying to help out in the corn dinner. It was my last year in corn dinner.
I was going to say, that's what happens your senior year.
Yeah.
You start getting spread out all over the place.
Exactly. So then I didn't have a ton of footage just to make a corn dinner video and decided that wasn't necessarily the best route for it. So kind of laid off, and then I continued to film things throughout the year and came to the end of the year. And I was like, I need to make a video for the last part of this will be my last video for the FFA. And it was going to be originally a banquet video. And that was what it was going to be titled. But then in doing that, continued on. And then seeing that it needed some narration, that's where Christian came in. And I was like, I asked it in the meeting, just like Christian said. I was like, hey, I need some help. I need some ideas for this, like as far as narration or somebody that wants to do narration. And then Christian came up and he was like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And we spent like in what? Four or five hours. Out of class.
Now that... The verbiage is there, the narration that you did, Christian. You guys put that together?
Yeah, that was mine and David's poem. We wrote that.
What was how did that come up? Did you guys go into that having an idea of what you wanted to say? Did it kind of grow as you did it?
Yeah, it was more of a growing thing. We kind of met up during second hour one day, and we sat in the shop on a welding bench, set our stuff up, and words just came to paper, you know, just right out of our heads.
Beautifully, beautifully written and executed extremely well. Now that I'm sitting here talking with you, it's running through my head, and your voice is coming back. When he walked in, I couldn't quite place it, but now it's coming in. The production of it, the cinematography of the project is just beautifully done. Was it different media that you were using? Did you use one specific camera? Tell me a little bit about the technical aspects of what you did to put that together.
Ended up using one camera. It was a Canon, it's like prosumer version. It's not all the way up there.
What model?
Canon 70D.
70?
Yeah. So
it's a nice camera. Nice little box.
It's a beautiful camera.
It's decent.
Yeah.
And ended up putting a hack on it to get some more options in it.
Yeah.
Put a flat picture profile, like so that way the image was super flat.
Yeah.
Which I could do more with in post with that.
Yes.
And then
basically like shooting it raw.
I'm not real
familiar with the video aspect of DSLRs. Mainly still is what I do, but in recent years I'm doing a little bit more and more video, but it's really really stripped down stuff, not near the production value of what, not even close to what you guys did. So you're using a 70D.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well go ahead, and if you have a question.
No, go ahead. I'm just listening.
So in the 70D, ended up using the flat pitcher profile, ended up adding cinema bars, which is that's why the video is like super thin.
Yeah.
So that way I kind of wanted to get that really cinema look from it. Didn't want it to look
letterbox like, type thing. Do they still use that term? That's what
it is
called.
It is a letterbox.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was they still use that or not.
Yeah.
Here comes Dana Douglas. Yeah, you're on right now, as a matter of fact. So if you guys need your hair done, that's the lady to talk to. She doesn't do mine, if that's what you're worried about.
Wouldn't be too difficult.
Video help.
Your dad's plugging away. He wants you to get another gig. Does he give you a bill at the end of the month for room and board? Because he's really hitting to try and get you to make some money here.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. So you were able to put the – and what did you call it?
Cinema bars.
Letterbox. Yeah. And from the letterbox, I wanted to get that really filmic look. That's why I shot a lot of the things with a really wide aperture, trying to get that shallow depth of field. And then also along with that, I shot at a higher ISO on a few of the shots to get more of that grain, mm-hmm. and then ended up adding grain in afterwards. And then to get that that look that kind of gives it that cinema feel is actually a LUT along with some color grading on the side. And that's how it had the teal and orange look.
Yeah.
And to get that really nice, beautiful, where certain colors pop, the skin tones retain mm-hmm. their skin tones, but at the same time, certain colors like the blue and the orange really pop.
Now, the technical aspect of this, is this something that you're self-taught? Have you been able to utilize any of the school programs for that, school classes, or is this all on David Smith?
It's basically all on me. Yeah. I've self-taught myself on pretty much everything I've used.
What are you using to edit with?
Final
Cut Pro X. Okay, nice. I have a... it's not Final Cut.
Premiere?
Yes, part of the Adobe Photoshop, yeah. I have it also. I have the whole suite, and I use Photoshop all day, every day for work. Audition? The audio? You may know that. What's the, Seth? It's the Adobe. It's part of the Adobe suite, and mm-hmm. I didn't know I had it for audio. It's their audio. It's got Photoshop for stills. I think it's Audition. I don't remember, but it's too complicated for me because I've been using Audacity for my audio stuff, and it's just simple. When I was with the paper, I was with the paper, the local PNI here for about 7 years, and when we would do short videos for the web on different events, it was again real cut and dry, not a whole lot of production to it, just capturing different things. The sound quality on the video cameras they had for us was it was bad. So what I would do is do audio interviews and then overlay that as a voiceover and just strip out the audio that was so bad on the video anyway. So I started using Audacity. So when I started doing the podcast, that's what I was using just because it was so easy.
Is that a Mac program?
No. Audacity, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it's what do they call that? Where it's free.
It's free.
Shareware?
Yeah. It's pretty
I've
nice.
Heard of it.
Yeah, it's really good, really easy to use, and that's what I needed. I needed it very easy. And somebody mentioned to me, they go, hey, I can hook you up with the Adobe program. It does a whole lot more, and I'll show you how to use it. He boots up my laptop, and he goes, you already have it. Like, oh. So I've tried to use it a couple of times, but it's my brain doesn't work real well. So anyway, you're again, the final product was just absolutely beautiful. The sound on it, incredible. The narration was great.
Thank you.
Who was... the folks that are in it, the actors, the subjects, was much of that set up specific for the video shoot, or were you trying to capture it different events as you went through?
It was a mix of both. That truck ended up one day after school. I had my camera, ran over there, filmed it. It was a beautiful sunset, and just all happened at the same time. And then
I really like the fact throughout there's several shots, several scenes in there where you kind of go out of the traditional what most people would feel are the traditional and the accepted exposures and framing and things. You got really creative using some of the backlighting, the sunspots, and things like that. It just looked incredible. Tell me a little bit more about that truck, because that truck has a little history to it, doesn't it?
It does. That's the Cooper Ag truck.
And, oh, and I'm sorry, the FFA is housed at the Cooper Ag Center right across from your school.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell me a little bit about the truck.
And so the truck, it was Tyler Plum and Charlie Bloomfield, they started on it, and we were going to make a separate little video just for that, but due to time, we just didn't have enough time to do that. But that truck, I saw it, and like it's been there for all the 4 years, and every time everybody always sees it, they're always like, oh, that truck, it looks so cool and everything. Nobody's ever done anything with it up until this year, and Charlie and Tyler ended up getting the truck working. So now it doesn't have brakes, but it can actually go forward.
And it does have brakes. It does,
oh, it
have
does
brakes.
Now?
Yeah. I hopped into that project a little bit here and there. Me and Tyler after school just go help out at the farm with the farmhand, and we ended up getting brakes on it.
Now is that, I've seen some posts and heard some things in Chino Valley hearing. Mm-hmm. Hearing things that aren't accurate is a favorite pastime, but I've heard that is the original Cooper's, the Cooper family's truck.
Yes, it is
just there.
Yeah.
So what year is it?
The 59 Viking.
It's a 59. If you were to, if this were a Hollywood production, are you doing a mini series or something or a television show, and you got a hold of your production folks and said, I need the quintessential farm pickup truck. They would hunt high and low and probably go through their entire production and paint shop and everything else to get it to look exactly like this one looks. This is – when you think old farm truck, this is what should be in the brochure.
You know, exactly. The only reason why we can't drive it on the streets and stuff, of course, of tags and license plates.
Well,
but like,
you're a freshman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
it is Chino. I guess you
can. But the rims in it, they're split rims, so they work, but they're very deadly. I mean, you know, one pops off, it's going through a window.
Not safe to be on the road. Yeah. Let's let a bunch of high school kids drive around.
Right around the
is
farm.
Is that another Jellibit call?
Actually, you're bringing up something that is part
hey,
of
climb in. Get here. Get it. Slide over. You got to get right on here. This is David's dad. You got to get way closer than that.
Okay.
Introduce yourself. I'm hold it. Grab it if you want. You can hold on.
I'm Clay Smith. I'm David's dad.
The financier, as you.
Exactly. As you were speaking about that, that actually is about the truck, and you were talking about, you know, creating a production from that standpoint. You're identifying something that came specifically, almost by happen chance, when David was doing the edit and the sound over came in. That truck actually is what identifies, it's what you're identifying when you see the that little clip of that movie. The you're identifying small town.
Yeah.
Small town America. And that's why it's jumping out so much.
I'm sorry, Clay?
Yes.
Hold on to that. I want to talk specifically with you. One of the things that really caught me when I sat down with the Darbys, Levi and Rosalie recently, for some fair talk, and so we rehashed some of this. I'm not from small town. I came from a very small town in Northern California. It was so small that on the evening news, it was in San Francisco Bay Area, in the evening news, when they showed the weather map, it would show San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. We were such a small town that we didn't even rate a notation on the map. Mm-hmm. We were just between two other places.
Right.
That small town was 150,000. And then we moved to Paulden. And now I live in the big city.
Exactly.
I live in Chino Valley.
Oh, yeah.
We got a Safeway. We don't no big store for this guy.
And a Dollar Tree.
And a Dollar General. And a Walgreens. We got everything.
Yeah.
We got everything, including, well, you live in PV now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say including some great filmmakers, but he lives in Prescott
great
Valley.
Narrators.
That doesn't great I got, narrators.
I got the movie theater, so hey.
And the Jackass bar.
Exactly.
Which you don't know, but you might know. He's 20.
Unfortunately not.
No, fortunately, yes. I come from an area that it was definitely not ag. There was no – we had a I think they call it a farming class, or maybe it was even a club in when I was in high school way back in the olden days. And it was literally about 10 by 12 foot next to the handball courts, and they grew like corn and some sunflower seeds. That was our ag department.
Right.
This is a full working farm that obviously isn't just about animal husbandry and growing, but we're seeing great artistic things like what your son put together. Also welding, the mechanics of farm working and things. I was completely blown away. It was a foreign idea to me that this is things that high school kids are doing.
Right.
What is it that you as a parent see benefiting these programs, the FFA, the 4-H, the ag departments that are so prosperous in Arizona and all over the country, except evidently the town I grew up in? What is it as a parent that you see kids benefiting from here? Because obviously everybody's not going to go into farming that goes through this. Everybody's not going to go into livestock. What, as a parent, do you see kids benefiting from?
I think that...
Real close, sir.
I think that the main thing is that you're able to create exposure in different areas that you're not, like you just said, you're not necessarily going to do it, but it creates exposure for the student, the kids, to put their hand at something and see whether or not they are good at it.
Yeah. It's very similar to, and we don't often, at least me, and again, my brain doesn't always work like everybody else's, not being familiar with this aspect of schooling and education. It's kind of like, you know, not everybody that plays basketball is going to join the NBA or even play at college level. But you learn things like teamwork. You learn things like, I can't even think of the right word, obedience doesn't, that's not the correct term, discipline. But discipline. Yeah, thank you, Christian. Discipline in following instructions, executing a goal as a team. One of the things that Rosalie Darby mentioned was, even if you're not fully engulfed in the, like, say, the livestock area, it still teaches you that whole cycle of life, the respect for life, what it takes to have a meal that features, you know, quality beef. It's not just the idea of walking in a Safeway and getting it. You know, you learn kind of the hard work that went to producing that, and therefore you get a better respect, you know, for not just the chain of life, but also for the hard work and the money that goes into preparing something as simple as a burger.
Well, I agree with that, and I think there's a lot to be said as far as in these kinds of programs, specific in the ag, that it's also teaching the kids, the students, where your food actually comes from and how it actually gets to, you know, where you buy it as a packaged item. Yeah.
Hunting for me was going through the crowded grocery store. That was as close as it got.
there was
only two types of people that had firearms where I grew up. It was the police and the people they were chasing. There wasn't any hunting. There was like two kids I grew up with whose dads would take them to the Sierras and go hunting and stuff. But it wasn't our culture. It wasn't what we did. And,
right.
I'm very fortunate. I got a 6-year-old at home. I'm very fortunate that he is growing up in a non-concrete and glass atmosphere. It's when we do go back periodically to visit in the Bay Area and in California, it's like I cannot wait to get back home.
Yeah. Completely get that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, jump in.
So,
now, just, were you born and raised here, Christian?
Oh, I was just about to go into that right now. But I don't know, I just moved up here about 3.5 years ago up to
from
Chino
where?
Valley from Phoenix. I was as city got. Like,
really?
I mean, I played sports, did my homework, and that was my life. I moved up to Chino, and, I mean, I know how to weld. I never welded in my life. I know how to weld now. I work on the farm with Tyler Plum, like David brought up earlier. I mean, I learned how to rope. It's just like
nice.
It's just like tons of stuff that I never thought I would have ever got into. And I mean, just from moving place to place, I'm changed pretty much.
Now, do you and it's probably not a fair question to ask. How old are you?
I'm 15.
15.
Yeah.
Probably not a fair question to ask, but do you? But I'm going to ask it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Do you envision yourself, jump ahead 15, 20 years, do you see yourself in a rural, smaller area, or do you picture yourself going back into the metro center of somewhere?
You know...
Or too early to ask.
No, actually, I'm hoping throughout college, I want to go to NAU. I mean, that's where I'm set for NAU. But, I mean, as you know, if I get a full ride somewhere else, scholarship somewhere else, free money is free money.
Yeah.
I'm going to hop on it. But NAU is where my heart's set. So I don't know if you consider that small, rural, Flagstaff-ish. But, I mean, it's decent. So... No and yes.
What are you looking to get into? Where do you see yourself as a vocation down the road?
In NAU, they have a pretty good biochemistry district. I really love science. Periodic table and stuff is what I really love. So
too brainy. For me.
Somewhere in the biochemistry district, chemistry, something like that.
Nice.
I enjoy
the sciences.
It. Yeah, science. Science or I'm a freshman and I made varsity choir this year. So I'm a really big choir geek.
Neat.
Yeah, so yeah, sports, so chemistry.
You can produce your album.
Yeah.
Sports, chemistry.
You don't even have albums.
Yeah, sports, chemistry, or singing would probably be my three main
Very nice.
Main
Now,
areas.
One of those lends itself to doing as a hobby, and one of them not so much.
Yeah.
I don't know any, or I don't know too many people that have chemistry as a hobby. I do know a couple. Unlicensed pharmacists, but that's a podcast of another kind. David, where do you see yourself? You said you're scouting some possible job opportunities. What about post education? Is that in the future for you, or you want to jump right into the workforce?
I think I'm going to jump right into the workforce, and that's the thing about it is with video and just doing film. I want to be a filmmaker and go into films, and that's all in cities.
Yeah.
That's nothing out in rural areas.
But to take – now, how long have you lived in this area in northern Arizona?
4 years. Well, like 4 years and
What was
something.
Home before that?
California.
Whereabouts?
Placerville, just
Placerville.
North.
Placerville, yeah. Oh, okay. We called it Placerville. Placerville. I didn't live there, though. Old Gold Country, I'm trying to think. I've gone through there a bunch of times.
El Dorado County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Hangman. Hangtown.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a beautiful. So, again, smaller area. Did we talk about this before?
I think we did.
There goes that brain again. Not working.
Hey, there it is.
I love that part of the state. That's, in my mind, especially growing up way back when, that to me is more Californian. That, the Sierras. Imperial Valley, the coast is much more California. Unfortunately, when you mention California to people, they think San Francisco,
yeah.
L.A. That's
you almost got to put like Northern California,
or just not the metro area. It's such a beautiful state, but still don't like going back.
Yeah,
as soon when we drive, we go like the 40 through Bakersfield up through, and then right around Livermore, Modesto area, we cut across. And that's when we got to pull over. I tell my wife, okay, you're driving now. I can't do it. I just can't stand it. I don't like it anymore. So you want to get into more of the commercial films, storytelling, or documentary news? What kind of?
Looking more into the commercial.
Commercial?
Yeah. I'm looking for the to ultimately get into DP, director of photography. Mm-hmm. So working on like really big film and being director of photography is my ultimate goal.
Do you do much with still anymore, primarily video?
I still do stuff with still, but not as much. Yeah. I'm kind of looking away from still. I like still, but film, it's like still you can almost do by yourself in certain aspects, and it's kind of just like a solo thing depending upon what you're doing. And then you have like either the model or you have the subject matter or something like that. But film, it's a teamwork. You can't do a film by yourself.
Yeah.
It requires so much more and requires so much more talent, like Seth here and Christian. Without Seth, like the audio would not have happened because that night I recorded – or that day I recorded the audio with Christian. And then that night was at editing and Final Cut, putting it together, putting the last touches together. And then there was the audio. I'm like, hey, Seth. And I sent him a Facebook chat. And then he came over. And how late were we there?
It was pretty late. it took a lot longer because I'm very specific with my programs that I use, Pro Tools and FL Studio. And when I went over there, we were trying to figure out how to do it with the plugins that were in Final Cut. So yeah. I was completely lost. And then we were like, oh, let's try GarageBand. And I was even more lost. So I was like, you know what? Just go ahead and send me these files. I'll, you know, bring them over to my house and you know, just mix them real quick and shoot them back over. And so I ended up doing it that night and then got them over to him.
See, I wish you would have told me he was the sound guy. See, now he's going to listen to this podcast and just rip it apart. Like, look at this guy. This guy needs to get out of the business. We got to take end yet, but I want to take a quick break because I got to drop a commercial in here, and it's a good time to do it. MileHighShow.com is where you can find this podcast, archives, all our old shows. There's a link right there for Audible.com. And that's one way you as listeners can help support the show a little bit by going to that link at MileHighShow.com. Clicking on it, they have over 180,000 audio titles, everything from audio books to magazine articles, some music, comedy. Hey, no whispering. And you can click on that Audible link and at checkout use the code MILEHIGH for a free audio download and a free subscription. One good thing you can look at, how about directing a film written by Brett Griffin? It's an audiobook you can get for absolutely free. How to go from your dream to being a director and avoiding common pitfalls. You get hints and tips for making the most of the footage that you have. Brett Griffin's directing a film at audible.com. How about We Don't Need Roads, The Making of the Back to the Future Trilogy by Kasein Gaines. I'm probably butchering that name. I should have had Christian do this voiceover since he's experienced. Can you read that writing or no?
Let's try it. Which one do you want me to do?
I don't know.
I'll do this second real quick.
The way I write, I think you might have to read it with an accent because it's so garbagey.
Alrighty. From director Robert Zemeckis.
Zemeckis.
So you can do this better than I can. And his friends. And writing partner Bob Gale. I can't read that word.
It's what?
Does it say Harry?
I can't read it either. Hey, let me see that. Hold on. Write a bit of... Oh, how an idea in their heads.
Alrighty. How an idea in their heads.
That's what it looks like to me.
The flaws we...
Films.
The films we all love.
Audible is going to pull their sponsorship of this show now.
Audible loves us. And last five words are... last five words. Thank you.
Okay, let me see if I can... No, I can't read it either. Oh, with interviews from the cast and crew... of Back to the Future movies, the ultimate guide to Back to the Future. Now, Back to the Future came out when I was in high school.
1.21 gigawatts.
Okay, commercial's over.
Alrighty.
So let's talk again. I want to touch a little bit more on music. Talk about what exactly, when you say you did the audio, was it strictly the putting the music in? What were some of the things that you had to work with and had to do to get to this final project?
So basically he sent me the voiceover just of the vocals, and I took that and put it in my digital audio workstation, and I trimmed them. I cut out all the excess noise that didn't need to be in there. And then I just, you know, when I go through the mixing and mastering process, you're trying to get rid of certain frequencies that are kind of cluttering up, you know, the sound. And one of the things that the original recording was lacking was the low end and kind of vocal presence. So I took the vocals and I, you know, added compression and more low end and cut out certain frequencies and added frequencies just to get it where it needed to be. And then I got the track, the background track that he used. And, you know, I listened to it on there, make sure it was going to sound good. And, kind of mixed it to that track before I could send it to him. That way, when he layered it, it sounded good. Gotcha. For the video.
Now, when you're talking about those frequencies and stuff, I'm learning very, very little about that since I started doing this. I think on this this recorder, their list is that the same as like the low cut?
Yeah, there's
you got the different
low cuts, high cuts, and each one of those is gonna, depending on where you set it, is gonna cut out, you know, certain high frequencies
to
get
show
top
me
end.
How to use this.
I know. I was watching
$25
Final
an
Cut,
hour.
And like his, even though he didn't know what he was doing in Final Cut, his hands were like moving so fast, and like all these windows were popping up all over the place. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know what that is.
Ad blocker.
How did you capture your audio? What did you use?
I ended up using a Rode VideoMic Pro. Mm-hmm. And just stuck it on the camera without a lens.
Is that like a little shotgun?
And his shirt as a sound booth.
I held up my shirt and all. It's got a sound booth going on. And yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, I use, what we're using this here is a Zoom H6 recorder. And I was at, because I do a lot of photojourn as well, and I was down at in Phoenix a little over a year ago. It's right when I started doing this. But for my regular job, I had to be down there for, I don't even remember what it was. It was something at the Capitol, some speaker. And KJAZ, NPR reporter, was there, and he had a Rode. Roland, field recorder. And he needed to do some voiceover. And I'm figuring, oh, this is NPR. This is legit audio. So I'm kind of watching him. And I started talking to him, told him what gear I had, and we're chatting a little bit. And he needed to do some intro stuff, and I'm thinking, I don't know what this guy's got, you know, what kind of contraption he's going to bring out, or I've recorded some intro stuff in my van. The acoustics in it are nice, you know, you got the headliner and stuff, yeah. You know, get the, you know, so I'm waiting to see what this guy's going to do. I'm going to learn some tips. He takes off his jacket, puts it over his head, and I had to take a picture of it. This is the big time where, you know, your sound booth came from the gap.
Yeah, not even kidding, zero exaggeration here. We went through three teachers' permission and about four or five, six rooms, around there.
Some of the rooms, we don't even like the teachers.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We walked into this one room. You got to add this in here. We had the band director. He's a real happy-looking guy, all right? So we walk in there, and we are like the end of our recording. Like, we have one sentence before we can finish this recording, right? And all of a sudden, dun, 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 they start playing all their instruments. And we're like, oh, my God.
No, you get a free soundtrack.
So we get super irritated, and we're like, no, this can't happen. So we just – it was a really messed up thing to do, but we just stand up and walk right through their classroom, and we get yelled at. It was pretty funny.
Wait a minute. David's on. He's a senior. He's leaving. You got 3 more years. You got to work on your on how you tick people off.
Yeah.
You can't do stuff like that until you're a senior.
To be fair, Mr. Wiegert, you look at him and you tick him off.
Yeah. I got to tell you.
I've worked with him for quite a while.
Yeah, oh, man. Just this Thursday, I just walked up to him.
Well, he's
like,
no Jelovic.
Oh, I don't know about that. What's it called? But I was just walking to my choir recital. We had a choir recital on Thursday, and he was walking out of the choir room because it's a split room between band and choir. So I said, hey, Mr. Wiegert, I like more respect. Say hello. And just walks away. I'm like, dude, come on. It was ridiculous.
I just pay him like I'm like, oh, hey, Mr. Wiegert, can I film your class, like, to get some video and put it in the senior video? And I'm like, I don't have to do this for you, but I really want to just get your band in there and do all that. And he's like, fine, as long as you don't mess up the class and do this and this and this. I'm like,
so he knows you then.
Oh, yeah.
He knew you were going to mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
When you have to stipulate things like that.
I mean, like, I didn't even, like, touch the people. And then, like, one girl, it was a guy, and I felt so bad for him. He took his eye off his music, and he looked at me, and I'm on the other side of the room, and he looked at me for like 2 seconds, and Mr. Wiegert goes, your attention is not over there. It's on me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
We didn't have a lot of stuff at my school growing up. We had a band, kind of. Mr. Ingram, he's probably still sitting in the band room. But we didn't have, like, there was a local school, another one that was huge, and they had the best football team, basketball, everything else.
Why didn't you go there?
Because it's the other part of town. I lived across the street from the high school I went to. I was late every single day.
Same.
But when I started photographing other bands, that marching band is, and band in general, it's almost like military precision on a lot of things. And that's what the directors, that's what the conductors do. And it's not something I'm familiar with, but I always thought that was kind of neat. So he's whipping you into shape. I laud him for that.
I don't.
Let's talk a little bit about your narration.
Alrighty.
And that poem, the wording that you guys put together.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this, and I think I mentioned this in the email that I sent you. I shown that video to the I shared it to the town's Facebook page. I'm one of the admins for the town's social media stuff, and I showed it to the town manager, Mr. Robert Smith. And he was blown away with it as well. He hadn't seen it yet. We're looking it over. And then I go in to – it was before a council meeting. And I went in there and I had it on my phone and I showed a couple of council members, including Susie Chuka, her daughter. What's your daughter?
Gabriela Chuka.
I guess she's in the program too.
She's a – what is she, the reporter? Or
Yeah, she's a reporter.
Going
she took over my position.
Yeah.
And that's – she goes, oh, no, my daughter's going to be working on this next year. And I'm watching – I'm showing it to a couple of the town employees. We're all huddled around my phone. And I'm not joking. I'm not trying to blow smoke.
Yeah.
They were emotionally moved. They were moved at just watching and listening to what you guys did. What was your feeling? What were you trying to portray and what message were you trying to get across with the words that – it was the two of you that put it together, right, David?
Yeah, me and David. So – just to go back on that, what you just said, well, when we sat down, me and David had beyond passion for what we wanted to do with this. I mean, I know we didn't get a long time to set it up, and me and David at that point really didn't know each other that well. I mean, I knew who he was and stuff, but, like, at that, it didn't just make a good video. It made a good friendship, you know what I mean? Like, I know David. I could text him if I need something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but going back, I got off track there.
I have that effect on people.
The message I wanted to send and message me and David wanted to send was passion for life. Just waking up in the morning and having a drive for something, whether it's drawing, the FFA, football. You just wanted to get up and just go. You know what I mean? So, yeah, what was the second question? I spaced it.
Just go. You're going.
Alrighty.
This
so,
is a whole other narration.
Yeah, so when we sat down, the
I like it.
Our ideas were really, we just wanted to be so strong with the words, but so subtle. We didn't want to be like, oh, we're the FFA, come watch us, we're awesome. Yeah. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to just push such strong words in these people's minds at such a subtle time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, when the music's really loud, we let the music take its toll on them. But when the music was subtle and there were just nice pictures going, nice videos, we just put the passionate words, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I said in the narration, we all wake up with a passion for life. Everyone should, everyone hopefully does. And I mean, I know David has passion for his cinematography, and you know, I have passion in a couple things like my choir and my sports. I wake up and that's what I want to do in the morning. So that was pretty much the message we wanted to send, and it was kind of like a message with a sub-message. So it was like the message was passion and having a drive for life, and the sub-message was kind of like, if you want to find a if you don't have a passion, the FFA is passion. You can have the passion for the FFA.
Yeah.
Like I said, like at the very end, the last couple of sentences, some people choose sports. We chose the FFA.
Yeah.
And it drives fire. It starts fire under everybody. It's awesome.
It was such a beautiful blending of your words, the visuals, the scenes, and then the way the music played into that. It was just incredible. Go ahead. Come on in.
I think there were three things that you were incorporating with that. It was the passion. But the other part to that, too, was it was a small-town thing.
Yeah,
definitely.
And especially living...
Feeling of community.
Living in Chino, in a big city like Phoenix, where I used to live, there's... You know, there's not a lot there, you know? It's people play basketball, you're a basketball player. People play football, you're a football player.
There's almost, and not that there's not a lot there. There's so much there, you can't grasp it.
Exactly.
I got to pick one of these things.
Uh-huh. And it's just, in Chino, it's so different. Because you can be the kid that welds, plays football, and works on the farm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
In my work with the school district and the high school, I've been involved in various aspects with them. That's another thing that really, really impressed me. Exactly what you're saying, Christian. In a lot of schools, even locally, you know, you'll have somebody who is in band, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
You've got somebody that's playing football, and then when the season's over, they're training for the next season or training to get in for college. You've got quite a few multi-sport athletes, but they've got one focus. In Chino, with the much smaller community, which the much smaller student body, you've got athletes that are football, basketball, wrestling, and then they're jumping out of that practice, suiting up, and getting on the baseball field.
Yes.
It's so much that you can take, not take advantage of, but it can experience.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not something that a lot of communities
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having 5-10 trades, you know, because there's nothing better, there's not a better feeling than having something to fall back on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but just like Mr. Smith just said, Clay, if there's two Mr. Smiths here, but
Mr., I like that.
But
it's
yeah,
the glasses, I think.
just like Clay said, the small town, I mean, we do a lot to make Chino Valley what it is. Just everyone. The football team might not be amazing, but we're a team. You know what I mean? We work together. We go out on the field. We run plays as a team. The FFA, we have our meetings. When we go out, we don't just say stuff, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. We assign people things. We have, like, a really good, chapter team or whatever you want to call it, officer team. Just like,
Great leadership at the student level.
Amazing. Yeah. Karen Madlock, our president, amazing president. I mean, she puts stuff together that I've never seen adults put together. And just saying, our advisors...
I work with adults every day. They're not all they're cracked up to be, trust me.
Yeah, what's called... But Mrs. Masters and Mr. Holder, I mean, they've been a wonderful, like... I'm just a freshman, but just my sneak peek of what's been going on this year, I mean, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Just from, like, where I came from and where I am now, it's amazing. And just, like... It's like things that I never thought a school would be able to put on. We have ropings going on. We have FFA Cooper Ag Days going on. I mean, it's amazing. It's really cool, and I'm really happy to say that I'm part of it.
Well, we're looking forward to having more interaction with you, Christian, as you've got your whole high school career in front of you. One of the big events, one of the premier events every year, not just for the Ag Center for you guys, but for the town in general, is that corn dinner.
Yes.
Comes in September, first week or so of there.
Yeah.
So, and that very well attended. So before we wrap, first off, thank you all for making time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seth, are you soliciting work? You got a website? You got anything that you want to plug? Can you take on new clients? Or are you?
Right now, I guess if you want to check out like design work or anything like that, I have a Facebook page. It's Avid Productions, and then
Avid,
yeah, AVID, and that's where I just did a couple logos this week, and I do different graphic stuff like that. So that's where they
very
can find
nice. It. Mainly Facebook, no website? Is that
no
where
website
you concentrate
yet.
On it? Okay.
Yep.
No, it's more and more. I mean, I'm very rarely on updating my website.
Mm-hmm.
I have it. I don't know why I have it. I've always had it. So I just have it.
Yeah.
But most of my my assignments, most of the stuff that I'm trying to push or promote, I do through the web through the Facebook page.
It's just,
it's better. David, anything you want to promote, to push, any projects you have up, please plug away the organization's website and Facebook page where folks can watch this video that we've been talking about.
This video, for right now, it's on Vimeo and it's on Facebook. Okay. I'll give you the Vimeo address.
Yeah, shoot it over to me. If I can, I'd like to embed it right on the page.
Cool.
I've right. been sharing it through the Facebook page, but
yeah,
I'm wanting,
the Facebook one is the main one where people can see it. Just basically search David Smith, and usually you'll find it.
And then the Ag Center has their own. Do you know what that is?
Cooper Ag Center.
I'll link it.
Or Chino Valley FFA. I'm pretty sure that's a page as well.
Yeah.
And the FFA, it's not, for some reason, I was looking at it earlier. It's not all cap. There's like a small F thrown in the middle there somewhere.
That Facebook page was made before me. And then I kind of took it on. I'm like, oh, it's up, little guy.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
And
but it's
what
okay.
about you, Christian? What do you got? Or are you just worrying about going to school?
I got school. You can come to my choir recitals. Come to the FFA.
What do you got? What do you got? What's up?
We'll
plug it.
I made a varsity choir this year, so normally any concert with varsity, we have tons of trips. I mean, normally the school advertises. I mean, it's pretty cool.
The school year's wrapping up, so most of that stuff's
done. But next year. But sports, athletics, come and see me play. And that's all I really got to say. Thank you.
Nice. All right, Clay, you're last. Last to say best for last. What do you do for work?
I'm actually in transition right now.
Oh, yeah?
Creating super cooling environments for computers and electronics.
Oh, my goodness. That's some smart stuff.
It's way over my head. He tells me all these things that he does with just our internet, and I'm like, okay, so we're beaming it from Star Trek, basically.
All right. Well, we will look for great things coming from all of you guys. Looking forward to seeing where your career goes, David. It's impressive to see what somebody has accomplished in such a short amount of time for all three of you guys. Again, I was completely blown away by that short film you guys did. I will be reaching out. Like I said, I do some work for the town under contract. And one of the things that came to my mind, and I talked to our town management about it, was maybe reaching out to the program as you guys get solidified next year when the school year starts, and seeing about doing some stuff for the town and see if we can't take it. I guess it's taking advantage of child labor is what we're trying to do. And so send your complaint letters. Well, thanks, guys. Anything else you want to hit?
I got two things to say. One for David. I just want to say you're an awesome senior, super senior this year. You will be dearly, dearly missed, and you did great.
Well,
so
thank you.
That, and if you guys want to add me on Facebook, it's Christian Bannister.
Good. We'll do. That way I can tag in this post. This will be up next week. Thanks again.
Alrighty. Thank you.
We good?
Thank you. Yep.
All right. Oh, and Big Daddy E's Barbecue is where we're sitting tonight. Let's go get something to eat.
Yeah.
We all wake up in the morning with passion for life. There's nothing better than putting work in for something you love. Hard work cannot happen without passion. Our passion burns within us and motivates our lives. The work we put in shows the love we have for our community. There's a fire in all of us. These kids have a burning passion for the work they do for our small town. Hard work is the root to our success. We work hard to bring our small town pride. America was built upon the idea of small towns and work ethic. There's a fire in all of us. The FFA fuels my fire. This is the true meaning of brotherhood. We are a family, and we come together as one, for one reason only. Some choose another path. We choose the FFA.
Well, I was born in a small town. Taught to fear Jesus in a small town. Used to daydream in that small town. Another boring romantic, that's me. But I've seen it all in a small town. Had myself a ball in a small town. Small town, and people let me be just what I want to be. Town. Still hayseed enough to say, look who's in the big town.